Hello, and welcome to the Showrunner Training Series presented by the Animation Guild's Writers Craft Committee. I'm Patrick Rieger, a volunteer with the Guild, and today I'm joined by Ben Juano. Ben has worn many hats in animation as a storyboard artist and revisionist, storyboard director, and more recently, a supervising director on shows such as Big Hero 6 and Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First, I just would love to learn a little bit about how you got started in animation and what your career track has been. We don't have to spend too much time on this part because we're here to talk about more of the showrunner stuff. But
yeah, I stumbled into animation. I went to school for physics. That didn't work out. Could not find a job, and I had always been drawing on the side. And at one point, I think it was at an anime expo. A friend of mine said you should try out storyboarding. So I took some storyboarding class. I got a portfolio from that. And I got my first job as a revisionist on Ultimate Spider-Man. This was back in 2011, 2012. So I got my start as a revisionist, learned my trades, just, you know, working all the time, fixing things, redoing things. And then I moved up to a board artist on the same show. And then from there, I moved over to Adventures of Puss in Boots over at DreamWorks TV, kept working up my way as a board artist, and then at some point, a director spot opened, so I moved up to director, and I had been directing since. I moved over to Disney as a director on Big Hero 6, and then they needed a supervising director to kind of, you know, bring the whole thing together, so I moved up into that, and I'm now supervising director on Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur.
Very cool. So this interview will probably be a little different than some of the other ones you've done in terms of just the kinds of audience that might see this. I'm sure you've got a lot of how do you break into animation? How do you get a job in animation type Q&As? This one's geared a little more towards showrunners that are coming in. Maybe they've sold a show and they're live action writers coming into animation for the first time, or they're familiar with the writing track, but not so much animation production. Can you just walk us through what a typical work week for you as a director looks like, and maybe a little bit about how the schedule is structured from episode to episode, how you're able to sort of pick up those different episodes and kind of move through them through production?
Yeah, that's going to take like 20 Zoom calls to go through.
Oh, all that. No.
Well, the thing is, you know, being a director, you are pretty much just focused on your team and you're focused on one episode. On our show, boards typically take about 6 to 7 weeks. On our show, we have a 7-week schedule, and then you take it to animatic, you screen it once, you get notes, you address those notes, you deal with the rewrites, you screen it again, you get more notes, you get some rewrites, and then you just kind of go through that, and then you start over again. As a director, you're only dealing with one episode at a time. As supervising director, I've learned that being a supervising director, you kind of gear your roles to whatever the show needs. My role here on Moon Girl as a supervising director is actually very different than my role as supervising director on Big Hero 6, even though they're both shows at Disney, because the needs of the shows are absolutely different. When I was on Big Hero 6, it's a lot of it is you go into a pitch, you note the pitch, and then you see it again at the screening, you note the screening, you talk to the directors, you talk to the directors when they hand out the script to the board artists and stuff like that. On Moon Girl, I am a lot more hands-on. I would jump on and board a few things. I actually still do board on the show as well. If we get certain notes at the screening, like I don't just give notes to the director, I also help the director fix things, revise things. Like I'm pretty much an additional hand to do everything. that's that's kind of how this particular show is structured. So my day-to-day pretty much varies. I pretty much don't have a control over my own calendar. I just go wherever, every time they put a meeting, I have to go to that meeting. You know, yeah. It's one of those things where you just follow what, you just go where they need you. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's like, it's the weeklies are basically like, I check in with all my directors, making sure they have everything they need. And then I check in with my higher ups, the EPs and the writers, and making sure that, hey, we need these from you. When are we going to get these?
So let's talk about that real quick. Just that interaction with the EPs and the writing team. What are those interactions typically like? You know, how often are the showrunners checking in with you? What is the kind of the interaction like when they're having these meetings?
I have a weekly check-in with a few of them, but not because our show is pretty top heavy. There are several like people on the EP, co-EP, co-producer title. So it's usually really hard to get all of them in the same room at the same time. But the nice thing is that if I need anything, I can simply just text them or send them an email like, hey, can you jump into Zoom for like 5 minutes? We need to talk about something. And pretty much my job is to make sure communication is smooth. If my director cannot give direction to their board artists if they don't know what the showrunners want for a certain thing. And if there's still confusion, it's my job to go to the showrunner and be like, hey, we're not sure what your take on this is. We're not sure what you want in this area. Should we go this way or should we go that way? That's for me to just go to them, talk to them, and ask these questions, get answers so that production can continue. Because my job is making sure that communication flows smoothly. Because I think a lot of the time in production, the bottleneck happens when the people who are supposed to be making decisions can't commit to a decision, right? Sometimes they're like, I'm not sure about that. Let me think about that. And a couple of days later, there's still no decision. And then you kind of just like, well, I can't keep waiting. So I got to make a decision. I got to go somewhere. And it turns out, oh, that's not what I want. And then you have to change everything again. So part of my job is to kind of push them and like, hey, can you decide now? Can you make a decision on this? Thankfully, this show has been great. Like our showrunners have been very, very decisive. And they've been able to decide things very quickly. Because I'm very lucky that I'm on a show where a lot of leadership have a similar philosophy as me, which is commit hard. Because at some point you're going to have to commit anyway, and delaying making that decision is not going to help anyone. So just decide, just commit. And everyone's very good at being decisive.
Can you think of any examples? And again, you don't have to include specifics of shows or anything, but examples of the kinds of decisions that you're talking about. Are we talking, you know, certain sequences and how they look, or things like props or backgrounds?
There's a lot of things, and you know, again, not to pick on my own experiences from other shows that I've been on. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, we want to have the certain kind of feel on this new character, and you let the designer take a stab at it, and you're still not feeling it. So I've dealt with showrunners in the past where they would look at a design and they say they're not feeling it, but they also don't know what they're looking for. So that goes through multiple iterations. How about this? How about this? Oh, I like this part. Can we keep this part and change everything else? That kind of stuff delays the process. My job is usually, if I see something like that as a supervising director, I usually try to work with the character designer, and I would go to the showrunner and be like, we need to commit on something. What do we need? What do you want? How about this? How about this? Like I feel like part of my job is to keep throwing options at them until I get a strong response about something. And then I can go, all right, he's feeling pretty strongly about that. Let's go in that direction. That's better than having nothing to go off of. That makes sense. So that's, you know, in terms of art, in terms of designs, that's usually where we go. In terms of the boards, the voice cast and stuff like that, usually it's just Sometimes you want to be decisive, but there are other factors as well that you can't control, right? Because sometimes
Sure.
you're like, I want to go with this voice actor, and you try to approach them and they just don't get back to you. You know, that kind of stuff happens. And when that stuff
Yeah.
happens, it's just like, well, I'm sorry, I have no voice for my board artist to base their acting off of. So I guess we'll just have to delay it. Let's just block out the shots first. Let's not worry about the acting for now until we get the actual voices, and we'll deal with that on the back end. So my job is to also prepare. All right, well, I probably won't get the voices until I don't have my board artist anymore working on this. It's probably going to be later down the line. So I got to make sure what are my resources later so that I can cover for that. You know, it's a lot of that resource allocation as well. Like, this is, I can't get this now, so I got to plan for my resources later, type of thing.
Yeah, just kind of being aware of those problems that might come up later on and
Yeah,
planning ahead for that.
you almost have to be, you almost have to be production minded as well. Like, it's not just about the creative. I think a lot of people think that going into leadership position is a lot about the creative. You're in a room creating stories, telling stories, like pushing some kind of agenda, having like, this is my storytelling type of thing. A lot of it is management. A lot of it is management. A lot of it is managing people, making sure they're not burnt out, making sure they're happy on the show, making sure people are feeling fulfilled on the show, making sure people are feeling valued and people are feeling like they're supported. Especially, with this pandemic, like, you
Yeah.
really don't know like what people are going through. You might get people who turn in stuff on time all the time. You're like, oh yeah, that person's doing really well. They're having a breakdown every now and then. You know, you don't see that. And then you might get people who are turning in stuff, and you're like, I've seen you do better things. What happened? They don't want to talk about it. Like, you kind of have to make accommodations for those things because, you know, every once in a while, us, we're isolated. We have a meltdown every now and then, you know? It's one of those
Yeah.
things. Yeah. And I think it's just being aware, and just realizing that this job is not just about the creative. A lot of it is about people management as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are there any other areas that you find that are frustrations in terms of just the communication or problems that can arise through management at the very top level at the sort of showrunner level? I know we've talked a lot about just being aware of your team, how everyone's feeling, being clear and decisive, but are there any other specifics you can think of?
The frustration that I've had in the past is often dealing with expectations that are not met by resources. When you're on a show, sometimes you'll have a showrunner that's like, I want to make the best thing possible that's going to win Annies and Emmys, and it's going to blow the world, and it's going to be different from everything else, which is great. Like, that drive and that ambition is needed. The creative push is absolutely needed. But say you're working on a show and the show doesn't get a lot of budget. Like, the show doesn't get a lot of budget. You have a skeleton crew. You don't have a lot of resources. You don't have a lot of help. You can't be doing full episode rewrites after every screening. You know, you can't, you can't, you kind of have to find a happy medium. I can say with confidence that, and thankfully, like, on my show right now, and during my time at Disney, we've been very well supported, and I've been lucky to have been working for shows where the ambition meets the resources. But I think in the past, my frustration had always been when the ambition is way too high and there's not enough resources to meet that, because then you kind of have to, like, it's almost like, shit. You know, like, how do I meet the ambition of the creatives without killing people? And the answer is, you can't. You end up killing people. You end up killing yourself, and you get burnt out from that. So that's always been my biggest frustration about, you know, pretty much shows in this industry. So I try to position myself where I get on a sh the first thing I do when I go on a show is I ask, like, what's your ambition? And then I ask, what's your resources?
Right.
That's the big thing for me to decide. If they say, like, well, we have money for four board artists on a 22-minute show, I'm like, nope. You need at least nine. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, I mean, you've been in writing rooms
Oh,
where, you
sure.
know, yeah, we're making a 30-episode season. Patrick, you're the only writer.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't work, right? Yeah. So
it's a lot. It's a lot to take on.
that's always been my biggest frustration. My biggest frustration is when there are people running shows who are not aware, who's pushing for a creative vision, which they have all the rights to, but they are not aware of the resources supporting them.
Gotcha. Since we have you on as and not only as a supervising director, but you also have expertise in all these other areas involving storyboard, I thought I'd ask a question just about the questions that writers get or notes that writers get specifically from storyboard artists. A lot of this comes up in something we're working on between the Writers' Craft committees and the storyboard artist committees right now with the Guild, just trying to get more communication on issues that come up. In your time as a storyboard artist or a storyboard director, were there ever instances where you just wish you could? I mean, you've had the benefit of having staffed rooms, but in many cases, writers are freelance. Just instances where you wish you could talk to the writers and just say, this is not something on the page that works when you put it into an animatic. Have you ever had moments like that or anything you'd want to
All the time,
communicate?
all the time. And this is why I always say that my ideal team is if you have a writer, or you have a director, you have three board artists on that team, you have a revisionist, you have an editor, and then you have a writer paired into that team. So I've always dreamed of a scenario where you always, instead of having the writers being in a writer's room and the board artists being by themselves, I always want to pair up a writer with a team all the time. So that way they can communicate. If the board artists have ideas on new lines, they can just talk to the writers. The writers can help figure out some story points that don't work once you see it in boards or once you see it in animatic. It's just that communication is very, very important. What we've tried to do is that on this particular show on Moon Glen Level Dinosaur, we pretty much try to have an open channel of communication. Like, we tell any of our board artists, because normally on these kinds of shows, there's always some kind of hierarchy, right? Oh, don't talk to those people. Talk to this guy first. Let them talk to those people. Oh, so we've set up an environment where even the revisionists, if they want to talk to a writer because they're revising a sequence and they need a new line or something, they're welcome to just talk. This was an environment we tried to set up when we were still in offices. Basically, we told everyone, you're welcome to just follow me to anyone's office. So now, but now it doesn't work anymore because we're all remote, right? But I see that it can be difficult when everyone's freelance, when nobody's there, you know, when nobody's really present. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, as writers, you guys are at the top of the pipeline. So you guys are can be done with the entire season before before we actually see whether or not it works. That's kind of the unfortunate thing. My philosophy as a board artist is that, and I've had this conversation with several writers as well. I know there's I don't know how well this works for, because I don't think you can kind of make a blanket statement and say it has to be this one way, because it really depends on what the show is like. It really depends on who the board artists are. There are board artists that love getting specific details on the script. Tell me exactly how you want this, because it makes my life easy. And then there are also board artists who are like, don't tell me exactly how it is, because you're taking away some creative freedom from me. If I just have to follow the script exactly, I don't want to be on that show. So unfortunately, it's really hard to find a happy medium, because it really depends on who do you which kind what kind of board artists do you hire, what kind of writers do you hire, and if you're lucky, you have the kind of writers that the board artists like, in a sense that they put just enough in there for the board artists to work off of, but still have the board artists feel like they're contributing something, they're being creative with it instead of just being the hand that draws. As far as I know, no board artists like to just be the hand that draws. Like they want to have some kind of creative input. They want to be able to plus things. And often a lot of times is that, and again, this all comes down from the show. A lot of times the showrunner would say, stick to the script. And that's the kind of thing that makes it difficult, especially when the script is not giving me everything that I need, but you're told to get to stick with the script. And it's, you just kind of get into this point where you're like, I'm not sure where to go from here. So to me, ideally, I think the script that I like to work off of is one where it specifies, it describes things enough that I can kind of visualize it, but just enough without too much detail so I can kind of just go, let me plus it. Because I like to plus. I like to plus. I don't like to just do what is, what is the standard thing. I like to try this, try that, see if it works. If it doesn't work, I'll change it later. But I think if you can find, I think it's good for shows to understand who they are, what kind of writers do they hire, and then what kind of board artists they can hire to work with those writers, because they kind of have to belong in the same, on the same fence about this philosophy, basically.
Sure. You talk about plussing things up. What are some common things that you'd see for storyboard artists that want to plus a scene? Are there just anything common that people will go to when they see a script and just try to make it a little bit more vibrant of a scene?
Conversation scenes are always the hardest. Because the thing is this, with action scenes are actually very easy. It's not easy, like I can close my eyes and do it, but easy in a sense that, there is a there it's action choreography. Even if you do it in a bad way, there is still some action in there. So when you watch it, 5-year-old kids are still gonna go like, woo! But if you're dealing with a story that needs a lot of exposition and there's conversation scenes, that's usually where you lose the audience. So to me, the hardest part of getting an episode to a point where it's it's passable and it's entertaining is actually those conversation sequences. So that's where we plus. That's where we go into, okay, here's a 3-page worth of conversation. Could we just cut the 3-page? No, we can't, because there's story points there. But if you just let the voice actors read it, if they read it in an entertaining way, great. But our job is to make it visually entertaining. So otherwise, you're just going to be seeing talking heads, right? And oftentimes that can you can lose the audience when it's just talking. Especially when it's like you want the you need the information, but information is not entirely interesting, but it has to be there in order to advance the plot. So that's where we kind of go in and like, okay, what could we do here? What kind of visually interesting things we can do? Oftentimes it's the filmmaking, the staging, the camera, making things look pretty and interesting. A lot of times also when you in comedy shows, it's about finding some gags, some opportunities, listening to the reads, see where there's like some inflections. Maybe we can spice up the acting there. So that's a lot of the stuff that to me as a board artist, I like to plus. I like to handle conversation scenes better than action scenes, because action scenes to me is just like, okay, it's just another action. I can make it super exciting, but at the same time, it's just an action sequence. But conversation scenes to me is like that's the tricky part. That's a challenge that I like personally.
You talked a little bit about going back and adding things to a voice record and working with actors. Is that something that you as a supervising producer get or director get to be part of, or like the voice records and then the ADR sessions?
Yes, as a supervising director, I do get to go to those. I am invited to those. I don't think that's where my talent is best used. so I don't usually go. We have, of course, our writers and our story editors in that room, but I'm for this particular show for Moon Girl and Delta Dinosaur, I like to delegate. I like to delegate and give that responsibility to my directors. I think it's more important because the thing is this: I'm more of the one that kind of sees the big picture. I see the details in there. I'm preparing stuff to make sure that when it goes into animation, it can be animated well. The directors are the ones that live with the episode. They know the inflection of every single syllables. They listen to it nonstop with the editor. So I think it's a lot more important for the director to be in that room. So that way they're like, they can be like, I envision that there's a little chuckle here. The chuckle is not on the script. Can we get a chuckle take? You know, can we try several chuckles? You know, they know those things better than I do. So there's really no point in me being in there, like throwing in my two cents, just to like muddle up, just to get, you know, as an extra cook in the kitchen. So I don't usually get involved with those things, but
Sure.
I let my directors do it, and they've been great at it.
Very cool. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time tonight, Ben, but I did want to ask if you had any other just general advice for someone that maybe they've been working in live action for a while as a showrunner or a head writer, and they're coming in and this is one of their first animated shows. Do you have any references that you would send them to, just in terms of, you know, learning more about our craft and trying to make the process easier?
I think the big thing that I would want to you know, biggest bit of advice that I have is I don't think enough people realize how much of a group project animation is. I think on my conversation with you know, some writers who were in live action, they're basically saying, you know, as a writer in live action, when you write something, you can kind of just visualize it. You can know how these actors are gonna. You kind of have an idea of how these actors are going to do it, you know, like you envision a certain actor saying this or saying that, you know, a Nick Offerman, you know exactly how he's going to perform type of thing, right? They have, so as you're writing it, you have all these visuals in your head, but animation is not like that. Oftentimes, just because you're envisioning Nick Offerman, it doesn't mean that's going to be the performance that you're getting, because the performance that you're getting is whatever the director directs the board artist, whatever the board artist draws. And even after the board artist draws a certain way, someone else has to animate it. And when it gets animated, it's not one person animating, it's a team of like 20, 30 people. So I don't think enough people realize how much of a group project it is, and that not everything relies on your take. And you have to, if you're running a show, you kind of have to see it as like this is everyone's work. So to me, a showrunner should be more about how do I manage people, how do I get the best out of people, versus how do I tell the most creative idea, how do I create the most amazing thing. A lot of it is realizing that you can try to have a lot of control. But the truth is, in animation, you can't do it yourself. No matter how amazing you are, you can be a director, writer, board artist, animator, you can't make it yourself. Someone else has to be involved. And I think if you, the sooner you realize that, the sooner you can kind of reorient and plan your leadership and your showrunning strategies around getting the best out of everyone on your crew and getting them to be on the same page and the same vision as you. Yeah, that's the stuff that I feel like, especially people who aren't usually in animation, don't realize it takes a whole village and more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap up our interview for tonight. So, Ben, I know you're on a lot of different social media platforms like Twitter, and you also have Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur coming out this year,
Yes.
later this year.
I don't know exactly when it's coming. We're still working on
I
it.
gotcha. No worries.
Hopefully next year.
Yeah.
I think they said next year.
Very cool. Anything else that I'm forgetting, just in terms of stuff you've got coming up or anything?
That's it. I can only take on one project at a time. And that's
and you need a village for that. All
you
right.
Need a whole village. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time. So Ben, this interview will be available for the training program as well as a couple of others that'll come out in the weeks ahead. So yeah. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to reach out and have a chat, they're always more than welcome to.
Very cool. All right.
Cool. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.